Well, thanks for everyone for being with us today. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein with you. The journey from Austria to Alaska has really just started for an aerial gondola system. And there was a matter of dismantling it in the ski area in Austria, where it's located high in the Alps, southeast of Munich, and there it was loaded onto 21 shipping containers. It's a complicated journey. We've got folks here from Eagle Crest who are going to tell us all about it. Dave Scanlon is the general manager at Eagle Crest, and Kristen Strom is the marketing and events manager. Thanks to both of you for coming in.
Thanks so much for having us, Andy. It's great to be here.
And exciting times. Now, of course, this is a project everyone's been talking about. Not without controversy, not without people saying, how's this going to work, all that stuff. So let's get into it. Let's cover it. So first of all, where is the gondola now?
The gondola is – that is a great starting point. The gondola, believe it or not, is sitting on a boat in Denmark, ready to sail. I believe tomorrow it's going to hit the high seas. So we actually have
Do you have a tracker?
We do have a tracker. It's going to be like tracking Santa, right? So we do have a tracker. So we're going to be able to watch the little dot go across the Atlantic.
That's really cool.
So, yeah, it's all packed up. Quite the adventure. And it's getting ready to set sail. And it's going to sail across and actually going to dock in Virginia. And then they're going to load it on trains, train it over to Seattle. And then obviously it'll make its way on up with AML.
So. Now, while we're talking about shipping, there was a kind of a hiccup in shipping costs, right?
Yes.
So tell me about what that was, additional $500,000 or something, and is that gonna allow for the original budget to still hold firm, or tell me about how that all works?
Yeah. No, that's great, Andy. Thanks. So when we originally put our first shipping quotes together, this was way back in December. As we were packaging everything up for the assembly and getting ready to make the pitch on what we needed to get the first stage of this going. Obviously, that was before the Ukrainian conflict, and you know, we already had challenges with shipping, but that just accentuated everything. So obviously, global shipping prices just went through the roof, and so it's completely out of our control. So thankfully, the assembly did allocate an extra $500,000 to cover those extra shipping costs. The good thing, we'll see how it all shakes out in the end. We are expecting to have 24 containers and then one flatbed for the bull wheels. We only ended up with 22 and the flat for the bull wheels. So we'll see by the time it gets up here and how quickly we can offload it. But there might be a little savings on the back end. You know, we're cautiously optimistic. So, we tried to be really efficient on the loading process with all of that in mind, knowing that, the less containers we use and the more efficiently we can load this thing, the more likelihood there's going to be some savings on the back end.
On the, it makes me think, new construction has gone through the roof. Does part of what's happened lately make you think, boy, we got in and got this gondola at the right time because you purchased it at a time before all these prices went through the roof for what would be new construction otherwise?
Yeah. No, I would definitely agree with that, and obviously as the world changed with the Ukrainian conflict, the value of the euro went down compared to the value of USD, so we got some advantages there, and there's already been, so many changes happening in the North American ski industry over the past couple of years. Everybody saw this boom in popularity because of COVID. Skiing was a safe activity for people to do. And our two big ski corporations, Vail Corp and Altera Corp, have just launched into unprecedented lift replacements. So the availability to purchase a brand new lift, even if we could have afforded it, was really challenging. Mm-hmm. Everybody's backlogged. There's only two big players for new ski lifts in North America. And so they were really backlogged on their projects. So the timing just lined up for all of this. And, and just couldn't be more impressed with the quality of this particular lift and the uniqueness of it and how it really fit the personality of Eagle Crest.
Tell me about that. And Kristen, we'll talk more stuff Eagle Crest in a second here, so
hold
on. Gondola stuff is so exciting to talk about.
It is.
Tell me, when you say unique, what is it? What about this gondola makes it unique and uniquely suited for Eagle Crest?
Yeah, perfect. So typically when people think of a gondola, typically gondolas are similar to a high-speed detachable chairlift. Whereas the gondola cabins come into the top and bottom terminal, they actually disconnect from the haul rope and then go at a slow speed to come through the terminal, and then as they leave, they connect back onto the rope. So the gondola that we've purchased is called a fixed-gripped pulse gondola. So it's similar to like
fixed grip
chairlift.
Pulse gondola.
Yes.
All right. I like these terms.
So we've got the cabins are large. They're actually designed more like a tram cabin. So
they
most
hold
of the
like
people.
Four people or?
No, 15 people per cabin.
Okay.
They're designed more to be standing in the cabins. Uh-huh. There's a little bench in there, but if you have people standing, you can fit 15 people. That's the design capacity. And so the cabins travel in pods of two cabins. So you have six pods of two cabins traveling on the line. So when the cabins come into the top and bottom station, the whole lift actually stops as you load and unload. So you're going to load and unload 30 people at a time. So it's a very simple mechanical machine, whereas the new fancy detachable gondolas, the amount of electronics and bearings and moving parts and circuitry in these terminals are just extremely high tech. So from an operations and maintenance standpoint, this is a really simple mechanical machine.
Is it basically manual, the stop and start of it? Is it kind of all manual, or is there?
It's actually all electronic.
Oh, it is.
So part of our refurbishment is all new electronical control systems. So it's going to have state-of-the-art, brand new electronic control systems. So it'll all be electronic controls that'll sense when all the cabins are at the right spot. It'll stop it, open up the doors, close the doors, and et cetera. But comparatively, the operations and maintenance cost of this lift is so much lower. And it's a little lower capacity. We're looking at, depending on how we configure it, 500 passengers to 750 passengers an hour. For perspective, ptarmigan's moving around 700, 750 an hour. So potentially it could move as many passengers as ptarmigan chair does.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A brand new $25 million detachable gondola, you're probably moving 2,000, 2,500 passengers an hour. We just don't need that much capacity.
Right.
You know,
right.
So this is just a really good fit, and it's a little more low tech, but I think it's going to fit the kind of personality and the vibe of Eagle Crest really, really well.
So when is it due in?
We think... So as far as we can tell, it's supposed to land in Seattle around the 26th of August. So we're expecting it somewhere September 5th, 10th, somewhere around in there.
We'll
start having the containers arrive to Eagle Crest.
What's the next step then? Once it gets here, what happens?
Yeah, so the next step is going to be getting it offloaded.
An unboxing.
Yes, unboxing.
So
this is
an
where
unboxing
we need.
Video.
So we're going to have our, we have potential freight savings. But we need to quickly get it offloaded so we can get the shipping containers back to Seattle. So the clock's going to be ticking.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be working some long days. Mm-hmm. Now we've got a couple of our board members. Everybody's ready to lend a hand where they can, getting this thing offloaded. So.
And then the process of install. And the install, now that hasn't been budgeted yet. Is that right? Or tell me about that process and what has to happen there. And I know Gold Belt's been mentioned and is maybe a part of that, so tell me about that.
Yeah, great. So we actually just closed a request for proposals for our full design team. So all the different engineers on the various phases, from civil engineering to geotechnical engineering, the actual gondola or ski lift designers, the architects. So Northwind Architects here locally is going to be leading the whole design team. So we're finishing up contracts with everybody. We're hoping in the next week or two, they're going to be off doing their work. So hopefully in 4 weeks from now, we'll have GPS points of where every single tower is going to be located. And then we're going to hopefully go in and dig a bunch of holes and do our soils engineering. And then that will guide the rest of the engineering and the design build throughout the first part of the winter. Then there'll be another request for proposals going out for construction contractors to help us actually do the building. So then ideally, we'll start construction next summer, get some concrete in the ground. We'll see how we do with contractor availability and supply chain issues. It may not be fully completed until the summer of 24, but we're going to be working as diligently as we can because we're all obviously super excited.
Is there kind of a contingent date of trying to get it in place by the season of 2023?
That's my dream
date.
That's
the dream. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
The dream date is we ski on it in the winter of 23-24, and then we're ready to roll for summer operations in 24.
But
we'll
see. Potential realistic things may come in.
Yeah. Potential.
Reality.
With reality of shipping and supply chain issues and availability of contractors, it's likely to be 24. So we'll see how that all comes together. So.
Well, it's. Let's talk about some other stuff. We might circle around. Is there anything else that we should talk about or the people that you want people to know about the gondola project? I mean, it is obviously the talk of the town and the talk of especially
been,
people
yeah,
that are
it's been spicy conversation, as we know.
Yeah,
yeah people are on all sides of the table. But, you know, obviously the big thing we talk about, you know, kind of the why of the whole project is we're really looking to let summer pay for winter. You know, and the ski area is aging. We've got to put some money into our infrastructure. So we've just seen this great opportunity to have some great summer experiences and generate some revenue needed to help really continue maintaining world-class ski area.
And just to further on that summer activity, is it focused on mountain biking? Is it focused on just hiking opportunities? Is it like what do you see and how does the gondola especially allow that to happen? Are there certain attachments that can happen for different gear? Or tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, fantastic. So as we all know, the cost of construction is just varying so widely. So our big focus right now, let's get the gondola in and a nice little summit house or summit lodge at the top. Basic, but nice big windows and a spot to stay warm and dry at the top of the mountain. Integrated in with our ridgetop trail system and the amazing views at the top. Then we want to add in another anchor summer attraction or two. Most popular, the one that everybody's really got their eyes set on, is one of these gravity-powered mountain coaster rides. Really fun, exciting ride. You can ride them in the rain. They got a nice little rain bonnet, so you can actually stay out of the brunt of the bad weather when it's like this outside. Obviously, we've built some great mountain bike trails recently. We'll keep doing that. So the lift's already running. It's going to give a great opportunity to do more mountain biking. And then obviously we're engineering a midway loading and unloading station in the flats at the bottom of the ski trail Raven, which will give great hiking access to Crappie Lake. Envision a little post and beam picnic pavilion there. So for out-of-towners with locals as well, nice hike to Crappie Lake, picnic by the lake. And then there's a lot of other activities we have our sights on that are low capital investments to achieve. We still have all of our old tubing park equipment, and slopes are fantastic right around that mid station for a tubing park. So tubing parks are great in the winter. They're also fun summer activity. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity for us to look at adding in some of those other little add-on summer attractions.
Yeah, it's exciting to hear about all of these ideas that are happening and that idea about expanding not just the summer season but also the winter season and all that stuff that goes into, you know, really fully utilizing Eagle Crest. Well, Kristen, let's let you talk a little bit here. let me ask you about the second cabin. Is that something you what's going on with that?
Definitely. So there have been a lot of exciting projects at Eagle Crest this summer, but the new Raven's Rest cabin is probably one of the ones we're most excited about. It's an awesome new cabin. It's just right above the upper parking lot, super easy access. It's live currently on the Eagle Crest store. So dates in September, October, November are open. And it goes live to the public September 1.
But, that's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. I got to walk through there the other day, and it's gorgeous inside.
Tell me about what are some of the features that make it a special cabin.
Yeah, so like I said, it's super easy access. It's plenty of room for about 6 people. Big, nice living space area, nice creek out back. And then you have all the amenities that Eagle Crest has to offer right out your window. So
yeah, really cool.
It's awesome.
Now the cabin that's up there now is awesome.
Yeah,
but it's booked out all the time.
Yeah.
Do you think that's going to happen with this one? I mean,
that's the plan.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the hope definitely. But I still feel like people are just now finding out about Raven's Rest, and hopefully once it goes live and it opens up to the public, people can see how beautiful it is in there. But yeah, we just updated all of our pictures on the website and stuff, so it's definitely worth checking out too.
Now, I have an electric car. And you guys got another charger up there?
Yeah.
What's going on with the chargers up there?
So that's the other thing that's going along with the Raven's Rest cabin. This is fantastic. So CBJ's had a great grant program where they're expanding their EV charging network around town in a bunch of locations. So we were able to get in on that program. So we're moving the charging station up to right in front of the Raven's Rest cabin and adding at least two additional chargers right now. So we're going up to four chargers. With the potential for more.
It's not enough.
We know all you EV car people. You're growing fast.
We work it out. You know, there's the brotherhood.
There's a brotherhood.
We figure it out.
And we appreciate the brotherhood.
Plug in and plug out.
Leave
little notes on cars.
I see you guys out there doing the dance from my office, and it's appreciated.
That guy's at 80%, man.
Yeah. He's fine.
He's fine. I'm unplugging him.
I'm at 5.
I'm desperate. I've got an old Leaf. So, yeah, I'm the one. It's always like, oh, no. Range anxiety is real.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. So, so that's the plan on them. Those are the 220 chargers, right? Not the super high phase 3 ones, but the...
I believe they are the 220 chargers.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Same chargers that we've had up there.
And those seem like really reliable, and they don't take a lot of extra equipment, and they're not as fussy. Some of the really high-end, you know, high... voltage ones seem like they're maybe a little more fussy. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know.
I could see that being possible.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have been very impressed with the dependability of the chargers we have right now.
Yeah.
They have been really good.
Yeah, it's cool. It really, you know, for those of us who have like these lower range electric cars, it really does open up Eagle Crest quite a bit to be able to know that, oh, okay, I can get a charge up there.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's great. Well, what else is going on? You've got, tell us more about some of the, I mean, we've kind of been talking big picture stuff, but what are some? Are there other big picture ideas behind what's happening at Eagle Crest and joining summer and winter and all that kind of?
Yeah, thing? Definitely. Well, kind of the big thing that I wanted to say right now is that the Tier 1 season pass sale is live.
Oh, okay. Well, let's get down to the
this
brass
is the nitty gritty. That's right.
This is let's get down to business.
The important stuff.
We could future speak all
we
want.
Yeah, yeah.
We gotta sell some tickets. Okay, let's go.
It's too real.
It's real. Let's get real here.
But the season pass sale is live, and we're in the midst of the Tier 1 sale. It ends September 5th, but the payment plan option is only up for another 10 days. And that's a super easy deal. You just make a down payment anytime in July, and then it's paid off with 6 biweekly automated payments.
So there's a way to amortize out the cost a little
bit. It's just really easy to kind of set it and forget it, and you'll be ready to ski when the snow flies. But so that ends next Sunday, July 31st. And that's kind of the big one. But we also have some upcoming dates at Eagle Crest, like August 15th, our snow sports school registration opens, the lesson programs, and the season rentals. So just keep an eye out for that. And they tend to go pretty quick, so just keep an eye on those on the website. And then we just decided our Discover Eagle Crest Day is going to be September 17th. And that's a really awesome event at the mountain, just kind of a good way to get the community up there. And we have some local vendors, some clubs, the foundation up there, all just excited to share information about Eagle Crest.
So. Every time I go up there, especially in the summer, it feels like there's some new cool thing that's been added or some new access point.
All the time, yeah.
You know, it really is. Yeah. It's awesome. The work you guys are doing.
We've been trying to just push the envelope every year. And, you know, last year's big work was a lot of snowmaking work. So over the next couple weeks, we're going to be doing a lot of testing of that equipment. Thankfully, Mother Nature was amazing to us at the start of last year, but we had a lot of new gear that we didn't get much runtime on. So our goal is to get all that new snowmaking gear tested out before the gondola arrives.
What are some of the things when you think about, okay, we got the snowmaking, what are some of the things that you have to think about in order to have a good environment for making snow versus, you know, from a layperson standpoint, you would think, oh, let's just fill it up with snow. They got snowmaking.
Yeah.
But I mean, what are some of the considerations? I guess temperature, obviously, is the big one.
Yeah, you bet.
But...
Yeah, so temperature and humidity is the big one. So when we... the most efficient range of temperatures that we operate in is anytime we're below 25 degrees and ideally below 80% humidity. And like skiers in the lower 48, they're like, you can't make snow in 80% humidity. But guess what? We're Juneau. We're a rainforest. Right. Most of the time we're looking at humidity is like 95%. We're like, let's give it a go, right? But you know, so we're always looking for those.
Why is that? Why does the humidity affect it that way?
What's happening? It's just how saturated the air already is with water molecules. So we've got different technologies of snowmaking equipment now. We've got our older style, which rely on electricity, and there are big, we call them our fan guns. We've got this big high-pressure or high-powered blower fan and then different sizes of nozzles that help break the water molecules down so it can freeze quickly. Then our new high-efficiency snow guns are real quiet, but they mix the high water pressure with compressed air. Very efficient snow guns from an efficiency and mechanical operation standpoint. So this time of year, we're always looking for maintenance and working on the electrical components of our older guns, checking all the pipelines for any cracks or holes that might have materialized through the winter. And then last fall, we put in a new big water pumping station at the top of Logjam. Historically, we've just relied on water pressure from Crappie Lake, but now we're going into a high water pressure, more efficient snowmaking system. So we've got this new 900-gallon-a-minute water pump on top of Logjam that we're bringing online this year, and another new electric air compressor that we're going to bring online for these high-efficiency snow guns.
Now, does the water still all come from Crappie Lake?
It does still all come from Crappie Lake. So the water line will feed down from Crappie Lake and then into that water pump on Logjam, and then we'll push it down the mountain from that water pump on Logjam. And then we still have the ability.
It just allows you to fill in different areas and new areas that you weren't able to fill in before,
And what it really allows us to do is make snow higher up on the mountain. So the big improvement we did about 4 years ago is we put in that water pump halfway down Sourdough. Before that point, we could only make snow about a third of the way up Hooter. So when we put in that first water pump, then we could make snow to the top of Hooter and the base of Black Bear. So we're always trying to think, okay, we know we're getting snow on the top of the mountain, but we know if we can make man-made snow down Sneaky, down Sourdough, and down Logjam, all right, we're connecting ourselves to the higher elevation where the snow is more dependable naturally.
Because in years past, there were so many times you'd go up to Eagle Crest and be like, oh, it's been snowing at higher elevation. It's going to be fine. And it's like, well, it's not fine. Not fine.
Yeah.
It's not connected. So now it seems like in the last few years, it's definitely that connection's been happening more. Yeah,
we've put a lot of investment in that direction. And thanks to the Assembly for supporting us on that. And actually, last year's big snowmaking improvement was largely supported by a huge fundraising campaign with the Eagle Crest Foundation. Local community donors bought sponsorship signs on all the lift towers. We're just actually putting all the new signs up this year. So when you're riding the lifts, you can see all those great community members that made it possible. So just amazing to see the outpouring of support from the community for this kind of thing.
And Kristen, you're new here. You're new to Eagle Crest, or fairly new to Eagle Crest, right?
I am.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about where you came from and your background, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
People will be seeing you up on the hill, so we need to know.
That's right.
Who is this?
Our new family member.
That's right.
I will be out and about and around, and you'll see a lot of me, hopefully. But I am originally from Bend, Oregon, but I have been a writer for Snowbrains for about 6 years. And Eagle Crest was my contract last winter, and I came in March and just fell in love with it and moved here quickly after.
Oh, cool. Wow.
And was fortunate enough to get to know the people. Just the sense of community here is amazing. And I love Eagle Crest. I know that it's special. And I intend to keep it that way for sure.
Yeah, very cool. Well, it's great to have you here.
Thank you. I'm so excited
to
be here.
Leave Bend behind. You don't need it.
Oh, no.
Bend.
That's exactly how I
know. No, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
It's great. Well, anything else we should talk about? It feels like we've covered a lot of ground here, but anything else that you want folks to know about? We covered the tickets and making sure that people just check in EagleCrest.org.
At SkiEagleCrest.com.
SkiEagleCrest.com
is the place to go. And, you know, and I know last year, for all the families looking for lesson programs, they sold out really fast. So we're really trying to get the word out of when those are going to be opening up. So the multi-week lesson programs are just so great for the kiddos. They get, most of the time, they get the same instructor, and they get that repetition. It's just fantastic. So we always have a block of spots for those lesson programs that we'll put out online right away. They've sold out quick historically, but we want everybody to know that doesn't mean they're not getting in.
Yeah.
They just need to phone call because our snow sports director, Aaron Lupro, is a wizard. Mm-hmm. So she'll mix kids around and open up spots and call families that are on the waiting list. So don't be discouraged if you miss out on the online opening. Just call us up at the office. We're always there Monday through Thursday. We'll be expanding our hours as we get closer to the season. But those are some good dates to keep in mind. And those the seasonal rentals are open in the same time, too. And we only have a limited supply of those for the little kiddos, which is just a great way to go because the kids grow so fast.
Yeah.
So that way you're not stuck into it. You know, yep. You can just keep them in the new gear for a couple of years when the little kiddos are growing like beanstalks.
Well, it sounds great, you guys. It's funny. It's July. You guys are already well in your mind. You're into the season. I can see it.
Yes. In our minds, we're making snow.
So excited.
It happens quick.
Well, great. So Dave Scanlon, manager there at Eagle Crest, thanks so much for coming in. And Kristen Strom, thanks so much, new marketing manager at Eagle Crest. Great to meet you. And thanks for coming in and letting us know everything that's going on at Eagle Crest. A lot happening. I'm sure we'll be talking to you soon here again in the studio as we progress, especially on this big new exciting project, the gondola. Thanks to both of you for coming in.
Thanks so much, Andy.
Thank you so much.
Support comes from Nugget Alaskan Outfitter.